Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
That is too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
This is a puck.
Hump. I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
PP Herder.
Blood Puddle.
First Circus.
Steven Ricker's Testicles.
He butted.
Boom chicka wow wow.
No no touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filippula.
Filippuli.
Filippalapala.
Wow 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
Iceman Insights on Amusement Park Radio, 96.9 FM, WYIR, senior writer, webmaster, Michael Shockley, a.k.a. The Shocker, joins us live in studio. How are you doing today, Michael?
Fantabulous, because we got the whole crew together again today.
We do have the whole crew, because joining us, the greatest broadcaster in the history of the Evansville Iceman. Well, probably, let me say...
I thought he was sitting at the other end of the desk.
Because I said, I like to say greatest, and there's always the most valuable player, but I always like favorite. So, favorite broadcaster in Evansville Iceman history, John Peterson, a.k.a. Petey, joins us live in the studio here on a beautiful, well, it's kind of rainy out there Wednesday afternoon before game time.
He is, without a doubt, the best broadcaster in the last 8 months of Iceman history.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
He is also the greatest broadcaster in this studio right now.
The band's back together for a show. I love it.
Yeah.
So are you leading this charge or am I leading this charge?
Well, I put together the notes. I might as well, I guess.
Yeah, so, I guess the prepared person should probably start instead of the unprepared person shooting from the hips.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
The Iceman had a three-game winning streak ended by a disheartening loss. We'll go back to Saturday, the 27th. The winning streak began with an exciting 2-1 overtime victory against the Atlanta American Gladiators. That's going to be one of the worst things about not having ECHL hockey here is not hearing the American Gladiators theme.
The theme song's literally going through my head right now. I love that song. I used to watch that show religiously as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just thinking about the tennis ball gun.
Yeah.
Steroid chick, all blonde, feathered back hair, shooting tennis balls. That's like an adolescent dream.
Derek had a picture of Zap on his bedroom ceiling.
I'm sure he did.
Wow.
The American Gladiators were here. 2-1 victory in overtime. The Gladiators were up 1-0. Nathan Moon scores the game tying goal with 46.6 seconds left in the third period, and then Chris Rumble with the game winner with 50.8 left in overtime. That was a heck of a finish.
Yeah, probably the best finish of the year. It was certainly fun to be a part of, because as the game was going down to the wire, I kept thinking, gosh, we run into this goalie tonight playing very well. After last night, I thought he let in a couple soft ones. Mm-hmm. And of course, Atlanta won the Friday night game in overtime, or in a shootout.
Yeah.
So then Saturday comes around, we have a goalie duo. Both guys are playing well and couldn't find a way to beat him. And then, 46 seconds left, Moon ties it.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably the loudest call I can remember. I almost squeaked, had to stop myself, because when it went in, I think I started to squeak, caught myself. And it was pretty exciting, though. And then Rumble scoring the game winner. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but for me, I felt like it was kind of poetic. And I don't know if I'm stretching here, but Rumble having beat cancer, granted it's, you know, a pink weekend.
Yep.
Yeah.
Scoring the game winning goal, I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah. That was a ridiculously loud ovation. I mean, the crowd was buzzing after the game tying goal. And then in overtime, the tension, say what you want about 3-on-3 overtime, but you may have bought your entire seat, but you only used the edge of it in overtime.
That's why they call it free hockey.
Yeah, yeah. It was something, and the place exploded. It was a good crowd that night, too, because of Pink the Rink in part.
Yeah, well,
so it was very loud when he scored that.
Yeah, and the one thing I've learned in my 8 months here is that these fans really care about a lot of great causes. And so mm-hmm. when we have nights like that, some of the nights where we've donated some money of the jersey auction to different charities and things like that, a lot of people come out and support it.
Yeah.
Pink Weekend, anywhere you go, is always a big weekend that's circled on the calendar.
Yep. So that was where the winning streak began. And then this past Friday, the Tulsa Oilers, currently or at the time a playoff team, come into town, and the Icemen just come out of nowhere with a 6-2 victory Friday night. The game was tied at one after one period, but the Icemen scored four straight goals in the second, and that was all she wrote. And that was a pleasant surprise the way that game went.
Yeah, I was surprised at how the whole weekend kind of transpired, especially the two Tulsa games, with having played them in Tulsa and it didn't go our way. We lost 5-2, although I'll say that I didn't think it was a 5-2 game when we lost in Tulsa. I thought it was a lot closer than that, and there was a couple of bad bounces, a couple of opportunities that Tulsa capitalized on that we didn't. And then this weekend, the beating them convincingly 6-2 both nights, granted they were very different 6-2 wins.
Yeah.
Was huge in a playoff race. Tulsa is one of those teams that is in a lot of trouble right now with the way they've lost six in a row. They had five
they
players
losing on Sunday,
yeah,
too,
to Missouri. And they're hanging on for dear life to that final spot in the playoffs. Tulsa, is also, a team that down the stretch here is going to have a really tough schedule. 10 road games the rest of the way.
Ooh.
They had five players get called up to Manitoba in the AHL. And so Quad City's hot on their heels. Indy's been struggling. But obviously, with the Icemen having a real tough road ahead to get to the playoffs, it's not completely out of the realm of possibility with the way Tulsa's playing. Yeah.
I kept seeing the scores over the weekend, and I kept thinking, going back to the whole Jake Obermeyer joke last year, because I kept getting Tulsa and Wichita screwed up, and I'm thinking, well, of course they're winning. Wichita is the worst team in the league, and I kept thinking, oh, wait a minute, this is Tulsa. They're in the playoffs. So, yeah, and I thought about the 5-2 loss from a month before, and I had to feel great for the guys to avenge that, especially on home ice.
Yeah. So Friday they win 6-2, and I'm thinking, well, back-to-back games against this team. This is a good team. They're going to come out Saturday against the same team in front of a bigger crowd and lay an egg. Boy, did they not. They came out and five goals in the first period.
Yeah.
The first time that I can recall the Icemen scoring five goals in any period.
It's the most this year in a period.
It was wild. You don't see that very often, any team, no matter what the record is.
Well, Coach Sims mentioned it in my pregame interview with him that in order not to have a setback against this Tulsa team, you really have to have a real fast start and match the intensity from the first period mm-hmm. Friday night. I don't think anybody expected a goal 23 seconds in
yeah.
and then four more after that in the first 20 minutes of play. And then Duco bookended it with a goal with 22 seconds left in the period.
Yeah.
And at that point, you could kind of cruise to victory and just let the dogs off a little bit and play smart
coaches,
the rest of the way.
Coaches always talk about you never want to give up a goal in the first minute of a period or the last minute of a period.
Two cardinal sins right
yeah,
there.
Exactly. And then three more in between. So, yeah, that was a wild one. The Icemen had five goals in the first period, and Tulsa only had seven shots.
That's called dominance.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. That's good hockey. That's a recipe for success.
Yes. One of my favorite things about that game on Saturday was late in the game, it was a four-goal game, and Tulsa pulled the goalie, which you don't always see in a four-goal game, but they were desperate, so they were trying to get points. 6 minutes left in the game, they pulled the goalie, and I was ready with my camera because I wanted to see Christopher Banksburg score a goal, and he tried.
Two things.
A couple times you could tell he was thinking about it.
I talked to him on one of our latest road trips, and he mentioned that he's itching to try to get that goal because he already has an assist. He might have two assists this year, and he wants to get that goal, and that was his perfect opportunity. And then he clutched the puck and thought about shooting it at the empty net mm-hmm. with 5 or 6 minutes left whenever they pulled their goalie, which I compared to Patrick Waugh right away when yeah. it happened, pulling his goalie very, very early. But he decided against it. He ripped the puck around the boards instead.
Yeah.
And I talked to him afterwards, and he was like, I should have shot for it, but I decided it just 5-0, 5 minutes left. Or whatever the score, 5-2.
I wanted to see it, man.
I know.
I was hoping for it. And there was another time later when he caught one and there was a little opening, and it looked like he immediately, as soon as he caught it in his glove, he turned to his right and started to skate like he was going to put it down and try to shoot. And the referee had a quick whistle. and took that opportunity away from him.
That was like the wheeling overtime goal shorthanded that Levier scored was a play like that where Bengtsberg made the save and skated out of his crease to play it. He does that a lot, but only once was he allowed to before it was whistled down. Most of the time it gets whistled down, but that wheeling game was the one that Levier scored.
They let the play go.
Yeah, that's a tough call for an official, too. The player does it in his catching glove, you know, in his
penalty.
Or covering the puck or whatever else, right. So you can also call it a face off. But that goalie does it, and they got it in that deep trap, or you kind of give them that extra step or two because they're trying to work it out. So that's kind of a gray area.
I think as a referee, when that happens, if the goalie immediately makes a move, you got to give him an extra second to see if he's going to make a play with the puck. Yep. If he catches it and just stays in his stance, then go on and blow it dead.
It's a good point.
But if it was instant. The second that puck was in his glove, he was off, and you could tell he wanted to do something with it. But
how much pressure was he under? Because the defining moment is under pressure.
Right.
A goalie
that
stops a puck under pressure brings a whistle.
True. So
they're not running backs. They don't get to skate away from the pressure they can play the puck.
He's not Swedish Barry Sanders.
Well, he finished runner-up for goalie of the week this week. That was just announced within the last hour or so.
Awesome.
So, he's the runner-up for goalie of the week. I sent it in right away, hoping that he would have the best stats. 2-0, 938 save percentage, 2 goals against average, but someone had just a little bit better.
I bet if he had scored a goal, he would.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Let me ask you, as a broadcaster, you take that personal when your players don't get the award?
No, I don't think so. I did.
Did you? There was a couple of times where like Matt Krug had like 2 goals, 3 assists, and 2 fighting majors, and he didn't get player of the week. I'm like, you got to be effing kidding me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to call Joe Babic at the ECHL.
Yeah.
So I would take it a little personal.
The part that's disappointing is we just haven't had one yet this year, and there have been a few times where a guy's had a really, really good week, and I can name you 6 players that had awesome weeks this week.
Yeah,
can only send one in, right? You can't send in 6 nominees, and then someone just happens to have one more point in one less game or couple more plus minus.
Or somewhere in the league, somebody just has a ridiculous weekend, and then it's just the way,
If you have a hat trick, you're almost guaranteed to be a finalist.
Yeah.
The one time that I really dropped the ball, and I'll be the first, whenever I do something that I know I messed up on, I'll be the first to admit it, and I'm not afraid to do it on the radio. But Chris Rumble's hat trick game when we were in Greenville in Atlanta, I think he had 4 points in 5 points in 2 games, was a plus 6, probably would have won player of the week. And I didn't get it in time. I sent it in like an hour after the deadline. And so I got an email back from Joe saying the deadline is 2:00, not 3. And I was thinking Central, not Eastern.
Yep. And I've done it too.
He wasn't even listed, but I looked at the guy who won, and I think Rumble had better numbers. So
yep, I've done it
too. We haven't had a winner this year, but 6 guys that had awesome weekends, the top 2 lines, all 6 of them combined for 12 goals. All of them were in the plus. All of them picked up 3 or 4 points. Some of them had 5. Jordan Sims had 6.
Was he your?
I sent him in just because he had the most points. He had 1 goal, 5 assists. But Ryan Penny had 2 and 3. Nathan Moon had 2 and 2. Levier had 2 and 3. Duco had 3 and 2. Fawcett had 2 and 2.
A lot of good choices there.
Yeah.
See, and I had issues one time. We had a weekend like that. And so I got 6 guys on the bus. Then we had the road trip afterwards. So I got 6 guys on the bus. You sent my name in, right? And so I've got to pick. And then I got to, you know, one of the 6. And then I got to ride on the bus. And I got chirped at by 5 other guys.
Our guys don't do that, thankfully.
They did it in fun, but it was funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If there's an assist that's missed or something like that, or an assist that's wrong, or sometimes a plus minus, then that's when I'll hear about it, but not for player of the week.
So who did you end up deciding? Or did you pick some random defenseman who had one assist?
No, usually, any opportunity I get to go defenseman, I'm going defenseman. So I've always stayed true to that. But I can't remember what it was, but I think it was one where I didn't go with Krug, and I went with somebody else, and Matt and I were good friends on the bus, and he's like, I can't believe you. I thought we met, we're from Detroit, yada, yada, yada. And so, every time I saw him.
Too late to butter you up.
I think he might have thrown me around in one of the elevators on the way. Because I would always, like, whenever Matt was around, if I was, like, walking down the hallway, I'd always brush shoulders with him and be like, dude, I'm walking here. So I'd always try to. Over 72 games, it's not a recipe for.
No, that didn't end well for
you. No, it did not. A few times.
So the Iceman, 3 wins in a row. You figure, all right, we can make this happen. We can get our 4th win in a row. Sunday, home ice, Wichita, the worst team in the league, coming to town. 2-0 lead after 1. And then the
game ends right there.
Yeah. Yeah. 7-period weekend.
Yeah.
The wheels fall off. Wichita comes back to win 4-2. The Icemen are now 0-2-1 this season against the Thunder, who are the worst team in the league. And those 5 lost points would look really nice in the standings. The Icemen entered the weekend 13 points out of a playoff spot, finished the weekend 9 points out, but 2 more points would have been really nice. You know, you went into this weekend, I was telling my wife, you go into this weekend, you look Tulsa, Tulsa, Wichita, you figure, if we can get 4 out of 6 points, it's a good weekend. You get a split with Tulsa.
And a win in Wichita. Yep.
But then, once you beat Tulsa twice, you want the 6.
Yeah, expectations change.
Exactly. 4 out of 6 isn't so great once you get the first 4. You figure, all right, now we got to finish it.
Yeah, I was excited after the 2 wins against Tulsa. I was thinking this is a great opportunity because Tulsa goes to Missouri Sunday, and we just, you know, we mentioned they lost to Missouri. That would have been a 6-point swing in the playoff race up to 7 points, and obviously didn't happen, and it was disappointing, and I'm sure everybody in the locker room was upset, but it's one of those things that you have to beat in order to get into the play. If you get into the playoffs, in order to make a run, you have to beat the best teams, especially at this point. If you get in, you're probably going to be the 8th or the 7th seed going up against Missouri in all likelihood. So now we might as well beat the best teams to make a run in the regular season. And we don't face Wichita anymore.
Which might be a good thing.
Tulsa has 2 straight games against Missouri coming up. They have another 3 against Allen coming up right after that. Quad City has 14 of their last 16 against playoff teams right now. Indy's playing, not playing particularly well. Yeah. New coach. You know, they've played 3 more games than the Icemen. So it's in our own hands. We do need some stuff to happen, though, to make it in. But, you know, if things continue the way they're trending, it's not that far-fetched, I guess.
Want to give a shout-out to all the lazy people that sit in the seats and drink beers and watch hockey, because it had to be tough. 3 games, 3 in a row. Even if they're at home, it's tough. And I know because Red Dragons of the ETHL, we played Saturday evening and Sunday night, and just – and I know that compares completely, like that transitions over ETHL to the ECHL of 2 games and 3 games. But, boy, it's hard to lift that stick, and your mind makes bad decisions. You're just a hair slower, and regardless whether it was Wichita or if the Icemen were playing the Red Dragons, it's tough to go 3 days in a row. The body just gets sore, and it just doesn't work. And you just look at the stat line, and it just looks like that was all they had left in the tank was after that first 20 minutes.
Well, yeah, with Wichita, the hockey gods don't like us very much when we face them, because twice we faced them after we faced Missouri. All the energy is going into beating Missouri. Then we have Wichita the next night. You know, this weekend, it's crazy because Wichita had 3 games in 3 days as we did, but they went Missouri Friday all the way up to Quad City Saturday, 7 hours overnight to Evansville Sunday. And that's the second time I think we've had Wichita at home where they've had a travel schedule that brutal and have come in and won at the Ford Center. So it's one of those things that it's like the hockey gods do not want us to beat the Wichita Thunder.
Apparently, yeah.
It's the whole Donnie Harris thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was nice of their coach to give him the start. And so then, he got introduced, and the crowd gave a nice round of applause. That was
and then
great.
After the puck dropped, and obviously he went right to the bench so he could get paired up with his defensive
partner.
Clearly,
it was intentional that he just wanted him to be announced.
Yeah, it was good. The fans gave him a nice applause, too.
Yeah.
So.
So we take a look at some of the leaders. We've discussed this a month or so ago, and just to update, Dalton Levier now has 21 goals in 51 games this year. He's on pace for 27 or 28. Tyson Fawcett has 19 goals in 56 games. He's on pace for 24 or 25. Both of them had been cold, but scored 2 goals over the weekend. And as a reminder, the franchise ECHL record for goals in a season is 23, set by Matt Shepke a couple of years ago. So
already got a call into him. Wanted to get an interview.
Levier is getting close. He's 2 away. Do we think he's going to get it?
I think he'll get there. You know, with 16 games left, he's such a talented player. If you look at this weekend alone, or even both weekends, the Atlanta one combined, he probably had another 6 or 7 breakaway or 2-on-1 scoring chances that he was robbed. A couple of breakaways where he puts those away half the time and was stopped on all of them. He had a 2-on-0 with Ryan Penny where he didn't score.
Yeah.
So I think he's a guy that's going to do it. He's that gifted. Tyson Fawcett, he's more than doubled his total from his rookie year in Brampton last year.
It's unbelievable.
He's such a fun player to watch, yep, too. He works so, he works hard. He's a great kid. And so I kind of hope they both do it. I know Shepke probably wouldn't want to see that, but
yep,
be well,
we'll
cool
get
to see.
Hopefully we'll get his thoughts next week on the show.
Records are meant to be broken.
Speaking of records, though, Iceman records, we mentioned Donnie Harris. Nathan Moon has now passed Donnie for second most games in an Iceman jersey all time.
Point.
147. So he's 12 behind Josh Beaulieu, 16 games left.
He's probably going to do it. We'll see.
Well, and that's my one fear about Levier is, you know, all of a sudden is Bingo going to recall him for the last 10 or 12 games in the season or something like that?
Or a trade. We talked about that before. You never know. He's Bingo property, but
I don't know anything.
They could make something happen.
Good job. No comments. Good job.
In another
trade, well,
another record prepared to fall. Jordan Sims is now up to plus 20, tied for 10th in the league. The franchise all-time record for best plus-minus in a season is plus 24, set by Brian Bisek in the CHL in 2011-12. The franchise ECHL record is just plus 10. That was last
obviously
year.
Obviously, Bisek didn't play on Todd Robinson's line.
Yeah. That was last year. Ty Wishart did it in 14 games before the wheels fell off. For a player to play a full season or at least close to it, the franchise ECHL record is just plus 7. Levier and Moon 2 years ago. So
going to shatter that.
Jordan Sims is going to shatter the ECHL team record, and he's got a shot now at plus 24.
We've talked about how good his two-way game is. You know, he really cares about the defensive zone in those battles along the boards, and he may not be the biggest guy or the strongest guy. He has earned his spot in the ECHL. He's a guy that some people thought was an SPHL player that maybe got an opportunity and
because of the last name.
Yeah. But I tell you what, he's a player that's now 12th in the league among rookies in points. He's got plus 20 plus minus numbers, which, you know, you can say plus minus is an overrated stat, but when you have that big of a discrepancy in plus minus, you're doing something right. He's got 13 points in his last 8 home games. He's got an 8-game point streak at home.
Man.
And he's climbing that leaderboard because a week and a half ago, he wasn't even in the top 18 among rookies. Now he's 12th. So he's really put in the work, and that's been noticed by a lot of us that he deserves to be here, and he's earned a contract with somebody next year.
Oh, yeah. I am happy to admit I was wrong on that. We sat here before the season and looked at the training camp roster, and I said on this show, if Jordan Sims makes this team, that's a bad sign for the success of this team, because I thought that, yes, he was an SPHL player who was a fringe player at best, and he's come out and played so well that he's not a fringe player anymore. He's been one of the best players on the team.
And he kills penalties, and even halfway or two-thirds of the way into the season, he's been on the power play too.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't start on the power play. He was more of a penalty kill guy, but he's on the power play as well. And so, and I'm like you, when we got 9 players from Binghamton in training camp, we're thinking this team could be stacked talent-wise. He's one of those guys that's probably a tweener, you know, a borderline player. Well, you know, it turns out that he's been producing his top 3 in the team in points behind Levier and Moon.
Yeah.
And then Fawcett right there too. So
just want to mention USA Hockey referee certified. So all you moms and dads yelling at the referees from the stands, get your children to become referees. It makes them better hockey players.
Absolutely.
It really does. I agree. So you've talked about this on the radio broadcast of how this has been a ridiculous season on an injury standpoint. We are now up to 247 man games lost to injury. And while that is a lot, we're on pace for around 320. That's about par for the course around here. We finished last season with 311 man games lost. The year before was 264, and our first ECHL season was 425. So it's been crazy, but we're kind of used to it around here. You're not, but
yeah, and it's just been bad luck, too. I mean, freak injuries.
Oh,
I mean, not even injuries that you can prevent with any off-season regime or anything that you're doing in the locker room ahead of time, any stretching programs. I think there's been a lot of injuries that are just freak. Look at Alex Weidman, how many games he missed from a high stick that cut his lip. Knocked out a couple of teeth.
Picture, too.
Yeah, you know, guys that have broken bones and guys that have torn, you know, whatever. Without getting into too much detail.
A torn upper body or
torn upper body. Lower body, right.
Belly button, middle
so
body.
It's kind of been a lot of bad luck. I mean, for a while, first quarter of the season, it was the goalies, and we couldn't get any goalie healthy, and we had 7 goalies dress at one point, and we weren't even halfway through the season. Then we were down to 4 defensemen for that long road trip, had to bring in anybody and everybody that could play defense.
Derek Benigni.
Then yep. we're down to seven forwards for a while.
Now the D are playing forwards.
We had five SPHL and FHL guys in the lineup in Cincinnati on the 23rd and had to get Ryan Penny loaned to us because we were in need of forwards that badly. And so it's just kind of been a revolving door injury wise. So hopefully we can get everybody healthy down the stretch. And we're getting some guys back. Weidman's going to play tomorrow or tonight, I should say. This is a Wednesday show.
That's yes. right.
live.
This is live.
Pre-living it.
Weidman's going to play and Humphreys is back from his injury. Duco's back from his injury.
It's hopefully, good to see Duco back.
Yeah. Hopefully we can get McDonald, Strandberg, Lukin back. Zenzola's back. Yeah. Clearly he played on Sunday.
Ahead of schedule, too. That was
It wasn't a major procedure. I thought it was going to be, but it was more of a routine procedure that he had done. So
we want you to give us the direct quote of what Duco said to the official to earn that unsportsmanlike.
I finally found out about an hour ago at practice, and I'm not able to say that on the air. We'll put it that way.
Can you say an edited version of it on the air?
With my daughter in the studio? Oh, she's got headphones on watching Little
Pets. Say whatever you want.
I will say that he was not pleased with the fact that he was boarded with 30 seconds left in a 4-2 game. Pretty bad boarding penalty that only got a minor, and it was his buddy. And his buddy had a few words for him, and he just was very upset about it. Mm-hmm. And so, and there was another one earlier in the corner. And so,
he got cross-checked into the boards earlier.
Wichita plays that game, though. I mean, that's their style. They play that gritty, aggressive, hard-hitting style.
It was a physical game for both teams playing their third and three. Yeah. It was a very physical game.
And we had
game.
Seven power plays, probably could have had 10.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality of it. So Duco wasn't pleased, but, takes a lot for him to get that riled up.
So he got a gamer.
Got a gamer.
At 20 minutes.
Haven't heard anything further on fines or suspensions. So okay. I'm assuming there won't be any suspensions. Hopefully.
That's good.
That's earning it right there.
Yeah.
So last thing.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up about Wichita. Just one final thought was you've talked about some of the difficulties of the power play this year and a huge 0-for-7 night on a Sunday. That's tough there. And especially when they turn around and go 2-for-4.
And Wichita's power play is 8% coming in.
Oh my God.
And they scored yep. two. So
and that's,
that hurts,
like,
you know.
Hockey gods.
Hockey gods didn't like us against the Thunder this year, but get past them. Now we have four this week against teams we're chasing in our division and in the standings. You know, we have three more against Quad this season, two more against Indy, and one against Tulsa. You know, we have a chance to make up some games against teams that we're competing against for that eighth spot.
It's a lot of four-point games there. Now that we're done talking about injuries, let's talk about Barnes. We talked earlier this year when you were here about some of the other facilities in the league that you'd seen early in the season. Now you've seen some more new ones since the last time we spoke. I want to start with Indy. What do you think about that Coliseum, that renovated Coliseum? That's the rink I grew up playing in, so I'm quite impressed by what they've done with it.
I tell you what, I don't know for sure, but if I had to wager a guess, I think they're making a run at potentially being in the AHL someday.
Ah, interesting.
And especially being in that Blackhawks affiliation, I don't know what Rockford's plans are, but I love that building. I think they've put a lot of work into it, a lot of money into it, clearly. Being biased as a broadcaster, I love their press box setup as well. And so it's a good situation. Their locker room's great. And they have a great practice facility offsite that apparently has two rinks. And I think it screams to me trying to at some point move up the ladder into the AHL. And again, I've never been to Rockford. I don't know what their rink's like. I don't know what the town's like, although I've heard it could be one of those things where they just swap and stay in the Chicago affiliation. So it's a good barn, and we go up there one more time, although it's not a good barn when it comes to our luck against Indy. We've never won against the Fuel in that building, so time to change that Friday.
Maybe we're too much in awe of the building itself.
Apparently, or those Garfield jerseys.
Oh, jeez. So what about Toledo?
One of the best in the league. If I had to pick like top five this year that I've been to, I think the Ford Center would be in the top five. Huntington Center in Toledo, Intrust Bank Arena in Wichita, the BOK Center in Tulsa. Where else do I go with the fifth one? I don't know.
Atlanta?
I'd have to think on that.
Atlanta's broadcast location is horrible.
Well, so is Wichita's for that matter. Yeah. I mean, as nice as that building is, I think that's probably the nicest building as a whole in the arena or in the league. But the press box is in the corner, and so it's pretty tough to see.
How's Quad City?
Quad City's got a good arena. I like their arena.
I like South Carolina, even though they don't have an official press box.
But you're sitting in seats, and the table's kind of rickety and
like
shaking,
Cincy.
And you feel like it's going to fall.
But as far
spotty.
As the venue goes, it's pretty nice. Toledo's my favorite. I actually like Toledo over the Ford Center. Ford Center is nicer and bigger, but to broadcast at the top of the first row
they have the best setup. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and in the building, as it blends in with the city, is perfect.
Yes.
You know, the way they have that set up with the baseball stadium right there, the building just blends in. It doesn't stick out like a sore thumb. You know, it's a good situation for Toledo. That's why they've had a lot of success for a lot of years.
And, well, they've got a lot of money too. They got a whole different structure up there. I mean, they're doing TV. Well, they're doing home games on TV and they're
co-owned
videos
by the baseball team too, the Mudhens. So they got a nice
show. One of the only minor league teams that makes a lot of money. I mean, because minor league sports, there's not a lot of money in it to be made. But in that baseball team, the Mudhens, I think, brings in some good dough.
Yeah. What about Missouri? That's a newer building.
One of my favorite, one of my favorite arenas in the league in the sense that it's a perfect size for an ECHL barn. They can put 5,000 people in there and it packs the place. And you're not trying to fill 9,000, 10,000 like some of these other buildings. Cincinnati, you know, they got to 16,000 the other night against Indy at that building. Mm-hmm. But that's tough to do on a game by game basis. Yep. And so buildings like Allen, which we're going to at the end of the year, which I've heard about, I've never been there. Independence, Missouri. Those buildings are perfect size for the ECHL. Just that one level, pack the place. It's loud. I mean, that's probably the loudest building we've been in. I love the building in Missouri.
Yeah, that's kind of Kalamazoo, Atlanta. Mm-hmm. It's just that single bowl, and you just pack them all in. Now, granted, Kalamazoo is really, really old, but it works great for the ECHL. That 5,000 max kind of seating structure really works out well.
Really, it prevents the sound from getting too far out,
too.
So it makes it louder just because of the nature of the building.
And to be fair, our building is one of the loudest that I've been in when there's a big crowd, mm-hmm. Of the bigger buildings. You know, some of those bigger buildings block out a lot of the sound just because it's too expansive. Yeah.
Yep.
Where the Ford Center still holds some of that in. And so that's kind of cool to see when the building gets rocking. Like that Pink Weekend, I mean, we had 5,400, I think, in there, which wasn't even close to our biggest crowd, but it was still a nice crowd. It was louder there than I think it was at any point this season.
Hey, loud fans. There's definitely loud fans in Evansville. They're awesome.
Yep. So I think we should wrap this up. We'll take a look at upcoming games. The Icemen play 5 of their next 7 at home, and then after that, 7 of the final 9 are on the road. Coming up tonight on the 9th, Quad City comes to town at 6:15, and then Friday in Indy, a home-and-home. Saturday, the Fuel come here at 7:15. Sunday, Quad City comes here at 5:15. And then next Thursday, the Fort Wayne Comets come to town for the final time, a 6:15 start on St. Patty's Day.
Oh, I'm going.
Planning for green ice. We're planning for green ice.
Yeah,
so
we had Bridget on a couple weeks ago.
As long as the Aces don't end up with a home game.
No, it sounds like they don't think they will, but we'll see, I guess. It's not for sure, but it'd be cool to have green ice.
Cool. And then the countdown is on. The home finale now less than a month away. Saturday, April 2nd, 7:15. The Tulsa Oilers come to town. Maybe we'll see another 6-2 victory in the finale.
Be a good finale for us at the Ford Center. Yep. If we could end strong like that.
I got a final thought for John Peterson because we talked a little bit the first time we had him on about overtime and the shootout and what we like and what we didn't like about it. One question, watching the Maple Leafs, don't ask me why, a couple of weeks ago, or a couple of nights ago on Monday night, but
because he's a masochist.
Yes, Leaf, tried and true. Shootout rules in international hockey, if you take a penalty in the overtime period, you are not allowed to participate in the shootout. Not the same as the Maple Leafs. I don't know what happened in that overtime period, but they let three of them, Kadri and Komarov and everyone else, came out of the box in overtime. I think if you take a penalty in overtime, you should not be able to take advantage of the shootout. Your thoughts, John Peterson?
I completely agree. I mean, first of all, I'm one of the haters against the shootout to begin with. I just don't like it. I think it's more of a gimmick than the 3-on-3 overtime is, and it's just deciding games on a skills competition. If you're a gritty team that wins a lot of games and you miss the playoffs because you don't have the most skilled guys in the world that can't score, or your goalie just struggles in that situation, it's such a crapshoot. And even as awesome as the TJ Oshie story was in the Olympics, I still cringed seeing even a round robin game in the Olympics going to a shootout against Russia. I was thinking this is kind of a sideshow.
And you just trot the same guy out there over and over and over again.
I know.
Too.
Well, it was like that World Junior a few years ago when Canada beat USA, and it was Taze against Kane, and they kept throwing
going
Taze
back and
out
forth.
There, and Taze was able to get one more than Kaner could get in.
But I think if you commit a penalty in overtime, you should be penalized for that. You shouldn't get a chance to come out and win the game for your team.
Especially on a 3-on-3, if you're taking a penalty, you're probably negating a huge scoring chance that should end the game, so you trip somebody because you have to, and then you get to come out and win the game. It makes no sense to me.
But it is the Maple Leafs, and the league offices are located
Well, yeah. This rule was before Toronto. Hey, we don't want to win anymore.
I know.
We've got Austin Matthews right in our crosshairs. Mike, your thoughts on the shootout rule?
I'm with you. I think if you take a penalty in overtime, especially if it's late in overtime, then yeah, there needs to be more than just that minor penalty. I think it's the SPHL that has the deal that if you take a minor in the final minute or 2 minutes of overtime, it's an automatic penalty shot.
Ah, see, I like that
rule,
too.
That's an interesting twist. I'm not sure what the exact details of that are, but I know there at least in the past, there was a rule on the books for that.
Well, especially now that we've gone to 3-on-3, so you commit a penalty, now it goes to 4-on-3 or 5-on-4. What is
4-on-3.
4-on-3.
4-on-3. Yep. So it actually is more difficult. Now you got another body on there. So you're not even penalized by losing a body. Makes no sense.
Maybe if you really want to make it interesting, we scrap the whole you have to have three players on the ice thing and do 3-on-2.
Yeah, well, why not?
It's like a drill in practice.
He is John Peterson, the greatest, favorite, most valuable broadcaster in the history of the Evansville Iceman.
Put that in
my radio show. I can say whatever the heck I want.
Put it in your email signature that you're the greatest, favorite, most valuable broadcaster in Iceman history.
See? I thought I was staring at him.
You can.
Well, yes, I am right here.
You can check out John Peterson tonight and all the games on. Tell us that whole MixLR thing.
MixLR.com/EVVIceman. Easier, just go to EvansvilleIceman.com and click on Listen Live, and
there you go.
It'll take you right there.
And they have an app for the phone.
And I got to tell you, having the broadcast archive is wonderful. It's really nice. You know, you go to a home game, you're not listening to the game.
Yeah.
It's really nice to be able to go back and listen to the interview with Coach Sims and the injury report and things like that. I wouldn't be able to do the man games loss count if it wasn't for being able to listen to the injury report every game.
I wish it was easier to navigate the archive, but it's still cool to have that option. But it'd be nicer to be able to skip ahead to exactly where you're trying to find.
Petey, thank you so much once again for joining
us. Thanks for having me.
And also, he is Michael Shockley. He is the senior writer, the webmaster, the choreographer of this show. And he joins us from IcemanManiacs.com. Every show, except for when he's being lazy.
And it's the John Peterson show.
If you need any information about the Evansville Iceman, you can find it at EvansvilleIceman.com. No, I mean IcemanManiacs.com. Don't go to the team site.
Yeah.
Not really. Your site's better. I can say that too. Because it's my radio show.
Wow.
And you've been listening.
Words?
I'm going to stay quiet on this one.
You've been listening to Iceman Insights on 96.9 FM, WYIR.
Music bomb. See you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.